Bethlehem is a small town in Israel. We're all very familiar with that name. 2,000 years ago-ish, Jesus Christ was born there, and 740 some odd years before that, a man named Isaiah prophesied under the inspiration of the Lord about this child that would be born. And we have it in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And of course, Isaiah was talking, we know now, about Jesus being born in St. Louis, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago. And I want to focus this morning on this idea of the Wonderful Counselor. A few weeks ago, I was meeting with a few of our community group leaders, and our normal habit is we talk through a few, what's going on in your community group, how's everybody doing, how are you doing, and how are you doing specifically in the areas of your time in the scriptures, your time in prayer, and your time in fellowship, and your time in service, kind of these four categories. And we happened to be talking about prayer that morning, and we kind of explored the question, if God already knows what's going on inside of us, he already knows everything we need, he already knows our thoughts, in fact, he knows our thoughts better than we know them. If he knows what we need, what our thoughts are, why do we bother praying? That was the discussion we had. And of course, there's some classic answers that we sort of dug through. These guys know their stuff. So, you know, the answer is because he tells us to. Well, okay, great. We kind of dug past that. Why do you suppose he tells us to? You know, and some cool answers resulted. Actually, the conversation kind of branched out from there. There's a number of reasons we pray, but one of them that we talked about was along the lines of the fact that prayer changes us. Does it change God? No. God is unchanging. He does respond to our prayers. The Bible does say that. He asks us to pray, and he does answer prayer. He does respond to our prayers, but it doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. It's more true to say prayer changes us. So then we double-clicked on that answer a little bit. Well, how does it change us? How mechanically, how does prayer change us? How does it work that when we pray, we are changed? Let's think about this for a minute. We as humans, we operate best when we have time to sit down and think. When we are facing a problem of some sort, either at work or at school or with friends or in the family, and we're trying to figure out what to do, we operate best when we have time to sit down and think about it. God has given us this gift to use our mind and our heart, and those things are not disconnected as we in the West tend to think, to use our heart, to use our mind, to use our emotion, our feelings, our intellect, to reason through problems, to reason through situations, and to come up with better ideas than if we would just have reacted with the first thing that came to mind. We're designed this way. It's actually part of what it means that we're created in God's image. We have this amazing capacity to think and to sort through our heart, sort through our mind, sort through our feelings, sort through our thoughts. But think about how much better it is in your life. I'm sure you've done that. You've sat down to think and maybe even wrote notes, and some of us operate better with whiteboards where we can mind map. That's the phrase, we can mind map our thoughts. But how much more effective is it when we can do that sort of internal sorting together with somebody else? I mean, think about it. If you have a friend come over, for coffee or whatever, and hey, I'm really wrestling with this thing. I'd like to get your input. Maybe we can do that sort of processing with in the business context, in the workplace context. We bring a consultant in to help us think through problems and ask. Usually, consultants, by the way, they just ask dumb questions that we should have already been asking. But it's helpful to have somebody else ask us those questions. That's the key to being a consultant. You don't have to be particularly brilliant. You just have to have the courage to ask the stupid questions. I mean, and sometimes we need to go to counselors. We need to go to a counselor to help us sort through our thoughts, sort through our emotions, ask those hard questions, ask those good questions. Some of us are verbal processors. In fact, I think many of us are verbal processors. We like to bounce our thoughts off of people out loud in order to really get a sense of what we're thinking. Can you relate to that? It's actually, I don't know what I think until I say it out loud, and go, oh yeah, that's what I think. It can be really helpful if somebody is there when we're doing that, kind of drawing us out, asking good questions, challenging our presuppositions, challenging our first answers. And I don't know about that. Let's think a little bit more. And I think we do our best thinking, whether we feel like it or not, we do our best thinking when we allow our thoughts to be challenged. I was encouraged a number of years ago to think in public. Think in public. Let other people know what's going on inside your head, especially when you're a pastor and you're charged with teaching a congregation. It's really important that I tell my brother pastors and other people that I'm working with, hey, I'm exploring this idea. I'm wondering about this meaning of this passage. What do you think? And allow my ideas to be challenged. That's a really important part of Bible study, by the way. If you're studying your Bible, allow somebody else to pick on you, to pick on your answers. Allow yourself to be corrected. We do our best thinking when we are open to correction. And that is one of the reasons God asks us to pray to him, so that he can be that friend and he can be that counselor first and foremost. God invites us to sit with him in prayer and work through our thoughts and feelings as he gently guides and provides wisdom like a good counselor. Jesus, when he was speaking with his disciples right before he was betrayed and crucified in the upper room, he told us this. John 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And if that, that's kind of in the flow of the thing, if that, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus promises when we love him, when we trust him, when we obey him, he will give us the Holy Spirit sealed in us from the moment of faith to be our counselor. He is the Spirit of truth. And a little later in that same encouragement, same sermon maybe to his disciples, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. And I added in the brackets, from me, because I'm excerpting that verse to put it back in context. Whatever he hears from me, that's what he's going to tell you. And this conversation with these community group leaders, these friends of mine, I think it really brought to my mind a very fresh and clear image of a patient and gentle counselor God. Wonderful counselor. Sitting with us, hearing us sort through our thoughts as we pray to him in sort of jumbled ways, as we fumble through our finite and flawed thinking, he helps draw us out. He carefully directs with clarifying questions that he full well knows the answer to. He ignites understanding and wisdom in us and peace in us as we come to conclusions through the intellect and the heart that he's given us. And so that's kind of what the new thought for me was, that how does it work that prayer changes us? As we pray, we are changed. I used to have two thoughts kind of in tension. One is that God gives us hearts and minds as a gift. He gives us a brain and he asks us to use it. He wants us to use the reasoning that he's gifted us with, and he wants us to take counsel with other people to like figure stuff out. He doesn't just spoon feed us the answers to our situational problems, like in the Matrix where the guy jacks in the back of his head and, hey, I need to fly a helicopter. Okay, now I know how to fly a helicopter. I wish it worked that way. It would be so much easier. But instead, God asks us to use the brain he's given us as he guides us along, gently teaches us, gently gives us wisdom. So I used to have these two ideas in tension. One is we have reasoning and intellect that God has given us. And on the other hand, the Holy Spirit leads us and he gives us impressions and he teaches us truth. And to me, those were kind of two separate things that you kind of needed to do both. And I think what this conversation did for me is it put those two things together. He speaks back to us as we pray, as we are thinking through things, as we are using the intellect and the brain that he's given us. He speaks back to us, most clearly, by the way, through the scriptures. That's how he speaks to us clearly in this book. If you are having a hard time hearing the Lord clearly, may I suggest to you that your solution is to learn this book, is to study this book, to read it frequently, to study it, to get out good books about this book, to help you understand it, to speak together with other people in the church about what does this book mean and how do I understand this difficult to understand passage. And let me promise you that as you do that, as you get better at this book, you will hear God's voice more clearly as you pray. And if you think back through, if you've been with us this past year, we've been going through the book of Luke. We watched and listened as Jesus actually modeled this kind of counseling for us. We actually got to see Jesus being this wonderful counselor. When he was posed with questions, or his disciples would come to him with a conundrum, or when other people would challenge him with theological gotchas, you see, very often, Jesus' response back to their questions was a question. And that question most frequently was something like, what do the scriptures say? Or, have you not read? And he invited those, and he still invites those who have questions to come to him. He invites those to think and to read and remember God's already revealed answers and apply those answers to moment-by-moment situations. Because there's a difference between the wonderful counselor and the human counselors that we go to, like our friends or consultants or paid professionals. The difference between the wonderful counselor and any other counselor is that his counsel is not merely good advice or educated guesses. His counsel is the way. His counsel is the truth. And his counsel is the life. That's why he's the wonderful counselor. Human counselors, including pastors, we can lack perspective. We can lack information about the world. We can lack information about you specifically. We can lack insight into the particular thing you're struggling with. People don't know you as deeply as they need in order to help you to the degree you want them to. They can help you some. They are very helpful. I advise going to counsel, pastoral, professional as you need it. If you're in a business, get a consultant to come in and tell you where you're blind or arrogant. It's helped me. People don't know you as deeply as they need to help you as fully as you need, but the wonderful counselor knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your situation better than you know it. He knows all of the variables involved in your situation. He knows all of the variables in your heart and in your mind. He knows all of the things. We often say to human advisors, especially when you're teenage, and some of us never grow out of it, you don't understand me. This person just doesn't understand me, so they cannot help me. And we block off that counsel. This person doesn't get me. So I'm not going to listen to the thing that they told me. And you know what? There's a high correlation between the times where I am tempted to say, this person doesn't understand me, and the times that they're disagreeing with me. Well, if only they understood me, certainly they'd agree with me because my thought process is impeccable. Otherwise, I wouldn't be thinking it. You guys ever seen The Office, Dwight Schrute? Whenever I'm about to do something, I ask myself, would a stupid person do this? And if the answer is yes, then I don't do that thing. Why is that funny? We're all like that, though, right? But here's the thing about God. We can never say to God, you don't understand me. We can never say that to him. We're tempted to sometimes. God doesn't get it. In fact, that's the whole point of the incarnation. That's why Jesus came as a human baby. He experienced every kind of thing you could possibly experience. He went through every kind of thing we could possibly go through. He knows us, not just as a creator, but in Jesus, this is weird, as a fellow creature. He knows us. We can never say, you don't understand, God. When we go to God's counsel and we find something going wrong, it's us who lack the understanding, not God, right? The wonderful counselor. He says this through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. I am God and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. The wonderful counselor is not like human counselors. This sounds a little aggressive, this passage, by the way, doesn't it? It's meant to, in the context, it's an aggressive statement. But it's good news for those of us who trust him, for those of us who are with him. It's good news for us because that Isaiah 9 prophecy that we started with, unto us a child is born. The prophecy we began with, the good news about the child being born, it starts by pointing out our condition. Isaiah doesn't start with, unto us a child is born. He starts with the fact that left to our own counsel, we are walking in darkness. Left to only human counselors, we are walking in darkness. And Jesus came, and it was good news because Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. That's why Jesus is such good news. That's why the birth of the wonderful counselor is such a great gift. The reason we give gifts on Christmas morning is because of the gift of baby Jesus. We often think about the gift of salvation, which is true and wonderful too, but that's not the only gift we get in Jesus. We get a wonderful counselor. He shows us the way to go. How do we get this? How do we get this counsel? When we need the wonderful counselor. How do we get him? How do we get on his schedule? How do we book an appointment on Zoom with the wonderful counselor through telehealth or something like that? Well, good news, we don't have to book him. He's always available. He's always available. His counsel is perfect. He shows us the way to go. How do we get it? How do we get this counsel? Through prayer. Through prayer. Where can we start when we are stuck and in need of Jesus' counsel? Well, may I offer to you in closing here, Psalm 25, the prayer of the psalmist. We'll close with this. This is where the psalmist went when he needed counsel. The Lord, this is a prayer. So I'm going to pray this. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. Lord, for the sake of your name, forgive my iniquity, for it is immense. Who is this person who fears the Lord? The Lord will show him the way that he should choose.
He will live a good life, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. So another way of saying that is he reveals his promises to them. You want the counsel of the Lord? Find his promises in the scripture. And the psalmist close. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he will pull my feet out of the net. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful counsel and that it is always available to us through prayer. Lord, this Christmas, as we grow up, I'm starting to experience more in this midlife here the need for your counsel, and I pray that my brothers and sisters would go to you quickly, that you would help me, help us go to you quickly for counsel when we lack direction. Lord, thank you that you promise faithful love and truth to us. And Lord, I'm just grateful for the so many times that you've pulled my feet out of the net. And I trust that you will continue to do that. Help us trust you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.